So this evening, I wanna share about that, especially. And that's why this is so special, and all the words and all the songs going into what the Lord has just laid on my heart for this evening. And I want us to, those of you who got your Bibles here, you can turn to John chapter 1 with me. We're going to read there from John chapter 1. And, you know, John is one of those special books for me in the Bible. I've done a lot of studying on John. And it is really an amazing book. So if you wanna study a little bit deeper, then, do John. But, all right, so let's just recap. Well, I'll just, you know, John is writing, and he is writing in a place of being, you know, driven away from Jerusalem, and they call it the diaspora. That's a big name, but anyway, so it's they're gone. I like it. I've been removed from my bondage. I can walk around now. You see, my little thing is taken away, so now I can walk. I told Flip when he was going to take it away, I said, then I am going to be free. So now I can walk to you guys, look you in the eye, see if you're awake. But I can't do that because that I'm going to mess with Gustav's sound. So I'll just stay here, Gustav, okay? Somewhere here. But anyway, so he's writing from a place after, you know, the temple destruction. And they've all been driven away. The prophecy's been fulfilled partly, you know, of the people of just Jerusalem and the Jews being, you know, scattered. And now, through that whole process, now John is writing a gospel. And he's been in contact with a lot of other people in the, you know, kind of there where the Qumran scripts, you know, were found. Anyway, those of you who want to go. But anyway, they were away from Jerusalem in that place. So now he's writing, and he has encountered a lot of people that are, you know, different branches, like we heard this evening. So he's encountered some Jews, he's encountered some other heathen people, he's encountered some Greeks, and it's this, now I can't find a good English word, good Afrikaans word is mengelmoes. What is that in English? Hodgepodge of people. Okay, so it's all of these different people, and he is writing to those people. And this is what helps if you start to dig into books and letters that were written. If you can find out where it was written, what is the time frame that it was written in, who were the people that this author was writing to, and why did he write that? Then it opens up a whole new world for you, like it did for me and John. And I love John because it's the Maverick Gospel. It's totally different. But this is the reason why it's different. It was written in a way that Greeks can understand it, those people that are other than Jews. And that's why we, as the heathen of those times, no, not Jewish people, we understand this gospel a lot better when we read it for the first time because of that. So, what you must always remember when you read books and things is we don't do popcorn stuff with the scripture from point blank. Okay, so you can later on start to connect things around the Bible that's got the same thread. But when you read scripture and you read a book or you read a letter that was written, read it and let that author speak for himself. Because we read something and then many times we want to impose on that person something else. Maybe when you read John, now you want to impose a Pauline type of thing on John, because a good thing to do is let John be John. And let Paul be Paul. And let them speak to you from that place. Many times we do a disservice to Scripture when we start to impose on them things that they're not saying. So what happens here is if we let John be John, when you take the whole book of John and all of the things that he says there, the thing that comes out most in that is justification by faith. When you believe, you will be saved. That is the thrust of what John wants people to see. He wants them to know that they are saved by faith. Okay? So anyway, but that, I'm giving you a lot of stuff now, but this is I just want to give the background regarding this, because we're going to read the first part, the witness and the not. And that was so great of this evening and the things that we said to one another. Let's read the first 8 verses and let John speak for himself, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Okay? In Him was life. Okay, just keep that. Martha, just keep this one here. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, so again, back to John. All of the other Gospels starts where? In the beginning, there was these people, you know, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and all the chronological things that happens. Because it was written for a Jewish Hebrew audience who, like us Westerners, understand yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I did something yesterday, I'm busy doing something now, and tomorrow I will be doing. That's how we filter life. But the people that John was around, they didn't filter life like that. The Greeks are weird people. They've got nothing to do with yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Everything is about what is above and what is below. That which is below is darkness. That which is above is light. That is how the Greeks functioned. So the reason this happens here, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him there was nothing made. So he goes in bang and says, listen, we're speaking about the Word of God, and it was with God, and it is God. It is above. It is there. And then he says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then the next one, now you can go, Martha, thanks. Now he goes into the light. He says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So a Greek mind sees that, listen, this Word was above with God. It has brought light to men down here on earth. So the light that is above is coming down here on earth, and that darkness has not overcome it. So it didn't quench the darkness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. And he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. All right. So now this is a lot of things that John is saying. So I want to show you just here in verse 5 to 9. Just put that red part up there, Martha. Okay. So now it's red. Let's not read the red, but let's read just 5 and then 9. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness had not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Can you see the flow there? Without those scriptures in the center, it actually makes a lot of sense. But now John, being John, wanting to say something to us, puts in this thing in the middle that kind of feels that it doesn't fit. And it says there, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness had not overcome it. And then, not going on to the true light which gives light to everyone. Now he's like, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. It's like, it doesn't fit yet. But he says, there's a man that was sent from God, his name was John. But what did he come to do? He came as a witness, to bear witness. Okay, then he goes back to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. All right, so John interrupts himself, and he puts something in there that is that he's speaking to these people, these Greek people, knowing about the light and that, both sides, and then he interrupts himself to say about John the Baptist. But the cool thing about John's gospel, okay, it's not the same John. Okay, John, the gospel writer, is the one that laid on Jesus' bosom, breast, asking him who was going to betray him. This is the writer of John. And that John is John the Baptist. But in John's gospel, he never says John the Baptist. More regularly, he says, well, he calls him that somewhere, but more regularly, he says John the Witness. The one that bore witness to what? To the light. And that's why in what John, the author, is trying to say, is saying, listen, this light, this thing about God above and heaven, it's interrupted in that first part. And he's saying, listen, there was a man that bore witness to the light. Now, John the Baptist, the witness, he was, as the Bible calls him, the greatest of all the prophets of the Old Testament. That's what Scripture calls him. And then Jesus says, listen, born among women, men, none greater has arisen than that of John the Baptist. And then Jesus goes on and he says, listen, but the least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than he is. Okay, but that is just the old covenant, the finishing work of the old covenant, of which John the Baptist was the greatest. And then Jesus would die, we would get the Holy Spirit, we would get into the new dispensation, and he would say, listen, even the smallest, the least of us, on this side of what Jesus has done, will be greater than John the Baptist. So, that is the one part that I want us to look at in John. And then, let's go on to verse 15. There's another one that's the same, still in the beginning of the book of John, and it says from verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Again, leaving out the red part, it makes perfect sense, but then in that, the word becoming flesh and all of that grace about, then he says, this thing. And John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. Okay, so in John's gospel, we can see, listen, twice even in his first chapter, he has interrupted himself to say this thing. John the witness, John the Baptist, is doing something. He's doing witness thing about the light, about the one that has come, about the one of whom he's not worthy to untie his shoelaces, okay? So, and I'll try to be quick tonight. I see you've taken all my time, but that's great. It's part of what I wanted to do tonight anyway. So, John is at pains to interrupt himself, speaking about the glory of God, and then every time bringing John the Baptist as the witness into this picture, which feels a little bit out of place. So the first thing that we see here, for us, let's bring it back to us now. What are we supposed to do with our lives about Christ? Say my heart, witness. So we should witness. We should witness about Christ. We should witness about the Son of God, who is the light, the true light that has come from the Father into this world. That should be what we do with our lives. We should speak. It is a great necessity that we should speak about Jesus and what is done for you and for me. Now, I'll skip through all these John the Baptist things. And I've already said that John 20:31 says that these things are written that you might believe. Okay, so this is the thrust of John and his gospel. He wants people to believe. And then he speaks about John the Baptist a lot in those first parts. Now, He says in verse 6, he says, there is a man. Okay, so John the Baptist was a man. There's a man that bore witness to Christ, to him coming. So all of us are men, and we are supposed to witness about God and about Christ. We'll see there's a lot of places, and fits into the rest of Scripture. Now you can jump around a little bit if you want to. So Jesus says in Matthew 9:38, he says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to do what? To send out laborers into the field. Men should go out and witness out there. Acts 22:21, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. This is now God speaking to Paul. God makes human witnesses necessary to bring his kingdom. So now I want to ask you, where have God sent you? Malmesbury, or your workplace. Some of you don't even work here. Most of your time you spend in some office building or in some classroom. What are you supposed to do there? Witness. You are supposed to witness. You are supposed to bring the light of the gospel of Christ to those people. God has already sent you somewhere. So, and that is God's plan. There is no plan B. It is us. And that is it. That is the way that the gospel will spread through all the earth. Through all the earth. Us going. Isaiah 6 verse 9, where God speaks to Isaiah, he sees his vision, he's in the presence of God, and while he's standing there with God, seeing a lot of stuff, you know, God touching his lips, it's an amazing piece of scripture, what happens there. But then God says, all the angels are there, and Isaiah. And God asks, whom shall we send? It's one of those funny things, and I'm like, but it's just so cool. And Isaiah's like, well, God, here I am. Send me. Me, from all these people standing here in front of you. Send me. Anyway, all of us. God says, whom shall we send? And if you say, God, here I am, send me, God will do that. So John is explicit. He's saying, listen, we must be witnesses. Romans, Paul writing the same thing. He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Lord, the word of the Lord. So there is this thing that we must witness and proclaim. Your life must witness, but you must also proclaim the word of God into people's lives. And not hypocritically. You cannot do what you're not practicing. People will see through you like that. Okay? You will be up there, you know, preaching the gospel for all the peoples because you are so great. And then they'll see through you because you do this and this and this and this. Suka wena. I will not listen to you because you are hypocritical. Okay, don't be that. Also, don't wait to be perfect before you share. If you are a work in progress, hallelujah for that. Continue to be a work in progress, but don't be a hypocrite. Now, that is the great thing that we must do. We must witness. And now let's get to the second part that I want to speak of. And it ties into that last part of hypocrisy that I say sometimes. The second one is, our witness is also a great not. Verse 8, going back to those red parts, verse 8 says of John the Baptist, he says, he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Verse 7 says, he came to bear witness of that light, but verse 8 says, he is not the light. It's obvious. But let John speak for himself. John has interrupted us with something, and the thing that he interrupts us with, he says, listen, there is a light. God is the light. He's awesome. We bear witness of that light. And then he puts in the obvious. John the Baptist, this man that bore witness of this light, he wasn't the light, but he bore witness of the light. And he does this obvious thing there with his interruption that John the Baptist is not the light. Now, there's some other scriptures. There's some other scriptures that also goes even further. Again, in John 1 verse 19 to 20, I think so. Just go, Martha, I put it up there. Okay. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." So he starts to get asked, listen, Jesus is doing his thing, and then they send people to him and say, listen, you are doing amazing things. Who are you? And then he says to them, what are you then? Okay, if it's not the light, it's not me. He said, and then they ask him again, and he said, what are you then? Are you Elijah? And he says, no, I'm not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. And now they had been sent from the Pharisees. Okay, so to speak about John speaking about himself, John the Baptist now speaking about himself, but also John, the writer of the gospel, is at pains to show the people that John is not all of these things. There was a place where John has got mystical status in the Old Testament, and then when Jesus' time arrived, he was the one that everybody was turning to. And he was at pains to say, listen, I am not the light. The light is coming. He is the one. And then he goes on and speaks about the fire that Jesus will bring. He baptizes with water, but Jesus will baptize with fire. Now, what I want us to remember, and this is the not part. Many times, and it happens subtly, as you start to grow in Christ, but as you start to get to a place of elevation in the minds of people, like John the Baptist did, then it's easy to bear witness of the light. But then this thing comes in of, Jesus did some awesome things through me. He is the light, but I bring the light. And you find it in a lot of places. I've seen some scary things of people that started out godly, but as they move along, subtle things creep in. And it's kind of like John, the writer of the gospel, is saying, listen, bear witness, but not of you. You must bear witness, but not about you. No matter how great you think you are, how great people say that you are. And that's in the place where Psalms 115 verse 1 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. And then 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So he who plants and he who waters are not anything. Not. Okay? You see the not. He who planted and he who waters are not anything, but only God who gives the growth. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5, that we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. So whenever it comes to a place, and I'm ending with this, especially to us, the other day somebody was laughing when I told him, there's a lady that somebody sent me a video clip about a lady that God has told to start to pray for Muslim countries. And she started to pray for Pakistan. That's the one that she chose. She starts to pray for Pakistan. And as she's praying for Pakistan, God starts to do things through her. And she is a televangelist to the Muslim world. And the thing that the guy laughed at was, the reason she blessed me so much is she is a humble televangelist, where Jesus gets all the glory. You know what's the great thing? She's just been, that's why they sent it to me, she's just been invited in this last while. You won't see this on national television, by the way. She's just been invited. The Pakistani people call her the mother, you know, the mother of Pakistan. She's been invited to come and speak to 1 million Pakistani Muslims and to preach the gospel to them. And she is preaching the gospel, man. But it's all about Jesus. And when I look at her, I see, God, that is amazing. There's a great witness, but there's also a great knot in her. God, may I be like that. May I be a great witness, but also a great knot when it comes to your work and the things that you do. So, finishing with John's writing, where he says, "You who comes," in verse 15, he says, "You who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me." John 1:34 says, "I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God." John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So, we must be witnesses. But we must be not. And I'm finishing with this last scripture where John says, when they came to him after that part and they said, "Listen, who you are?" And then John says this beautiful thing where he says, "He must increase, and I must decrease." And not to be walked over, you know, that's not the point. It's not becoming so. But as Christ increases, you know, become not in that place, so that he can have the glory. And you be safe. Let's stand this evening, and then we're going to pray together.